Right.
I haven't got one here with translation. Oh, you got a brilliant. Northend and Kolel, shiur given on Sunday, 28th of April 2013, Yud Ches, ER, Toshi 9 Gimel, Lag BaOmer, shiur given by Gershon Heppner, and we're up to Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches, and we're up to Pasuk Mem, Pasuk 40, in the Askol Sidurim. The bookmark's in the right place. It's on the left-hand page. I think it's on the right-hand column, and it's 8 lines down. Okay. And the pasuk is Vata Azrini Chayil Lamilchama. David HaMelech says, "You girded me Chayil with strength Lamilchama for battle. Tachria Komai Tachtoi. You brought down my those who rose up against me. You brought them down in front of me. You brought them down beneath me." The article translation is actually a nice translation. It says, "You brought my enemies to their knees." Basically, Tachria, like the word Kurim. Kurim when Mishtachabim, we bowing down. So, pardon? Kind of, yeah, no, but that's a different word. That's berech, which is a knee. This is kafresh ayin, to bend the knee. Yeah? Yeah? So, the... you brought that you girded me with strength lamilchama for battle tachria koma tachtoi. You brought down my enemies. Okay. The... So, okay, the first thing to note is that this pasuk has got quite some similar wording to pasuk we just had earlier in pasuk Lamed Gimel, Hokel Hama Azrini Choyl. It's just a few pasuk earlier. Hokel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hama Azrini Choyl, who girded me with strength. And on that pasuk, quite a few of the Mefarshim go to town on that word Choyl or Chayil, because the gematria of Chayil is 48. And it's a reference to the 48 Kinyani HaTorah, which is nice and topical because between Pesach and Shavuot got 49 days, and the 48 Kinyani HaTorah are related to the 49 days of the Omer, 48 Kinyanim plus one extra day to do Chazorah and all the other Kinyani HaTorah, or something along those lines. The source of this is from the Vilna Gaon in his Pirush on Mishlei on Esh Eschayil, which is right at the end of Mishlei. It's chapter Lamed Aleph, and it's in two places there, chapter Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud and also chapter Lamed Aleph Pasuk Kavtes. Chayil, says the Vilna Gaon, Esh Eschayil is the man who has acquired all Chayil, all 48 Kinyani HaTorah. That's how the Vilna Gaon learns that posuk. You find the same ideas brought in posuk Lamed Gimel earlier by the Maharitz Dushinsky, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky. Again, he brings this 48 Kinyani HaTorah, Chayil 48 Kinyani HaTorah, and David HaMelech is saying Hakem in Lamed Gimel. The God who's girded me, who's given me strength to have all 48 kinyonim of the Torah. And in our pasuk, very similar idea, that you've given me strength, i.e. you've given me the 48 kinyonim HaTorah, lamil chama, for fighting the wars of Torah, i.e. the ability to learn Torah well. That's how the Gaon and other people learn it. Okay, coming back to Poshup Shatana Posuk, the word Vatazrini comes from the word Azer, which is a belt, an army belt, and it's again an expression of being girded with strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given me strength to fight, and in particular, it's reference to the army belt. The Ibn Ezra learns that you've given me strength in the limbs of my body to cope with battle. Literally, you give me strength to fight wars. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns it. The Meiri and the Tosus Rid, that's Rabbi Yishai from Turin, they learn that that what you have at the end of the Pasuk, Tachria komai tachto, you bring my enemies or you bring my adversaries to their knees, it's simply an expression of you trip them up and the enemies fall down because they can't cope. Enemies fall down in front of me, and that's the idea of Tachria komai tachto, you bring them to their knees. But a totally different shot is brought by Rabbi Avram ben Ramoch and also by Rabbi Shimshon Fel Hirsch, who both say that Tachria komai tachto, it's not an expression of you brought them to their knees by tripping them up, but you make them bow down to me. So it's a slightly different thing. You subjugate them before me. Slightly different thing. Not you trip them up in battle and they fall to their knees. But no, they go down on their knees in subservience to me. That's how Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach and Rabbi Shimshon von Hirsch both learn on this pasuk. Let's move on. Yeah, the Malbim takes a look at the next pasuk with it. So let's just take a look at pasuk Mem Aleph together with this. Va'ovai nosatali oref, you make my enemies flee from me. Oref is the back of the neck. In other words, I can see the back of the neck of the enemies because they're running away from me. Umasan ai, and those who hate me, ats me same, I cut them down. So the Malbim, in his typical Malbim form, he wants to find a difference between these different expressions for enemies. In our pasuk, we've got the word komai, those who rise up against me. The next pasuk, we've got ovai, my enemies, seems the same thing. And then we've also got masanai, those who hate me. Again, it seems the same thing. So the Malbim differentiates between them. When it says komai are those who actually do battle against me, those who rise up against me and do battle against me. Ovai are the enemies who don't necessarily make a battle against me, but rather, what do? They seek out to harm me in all different ways, but they're not actually fighting a physical battle against me. And he says they may well work from a distance. Remotely, they're planning things against me. That's how the Malbim learns it. He says, but as soon as those who are fighting me fall, that's the komai, the ovai, the ones who are trying to work against me remotely, they just dissipate and they flee. That's not subtly oref, they flee. And the last group, the masanai, those who hate me, They are the least effective of my enemies, and they simply hold me in disdain. They don't like me, but they might not necessarily be doing much against me. They just hate me. And he says that even, and the pshat in the says the Malbim is that even those who are masanai, who are the least effective of all my enemies, atzmisem, that's in Pasuk, the end of Mem Aleph, atzmisem, I'll cut them down. So that's the kavuchoma, all the other enemies who are much worse. Kavuchoma, those who plan things against me, that's ovai, and kavuchoma, those who actually fight against me, and that's komai. The Malbim also points out that what we've got in our Pasuk is, again, true to form. It fits in with the Malbim's whole thesis over the last few Pasukim, namely that David HaMelech says, I fight battles, but in truth, I'm not doing anything. Who's really fighting all the battles? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's doing it all for me. I actually do very little in the battles. And he says, I'm not doing anything. Hashem is fighting all the wars for me. As he says, you're the one who girds me with strength, and Tachriya Koma, you're the one who cuts down my enemies in front of me. So that's how the Malbim learns. It's all down to you. I'm actually doing very little. That's how the Malbim learns, and it's in keeping with the Malbim's pshatim on earlier pesukim in this chapter as well. That really, I'm not doing much in the way of battle. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it all for me. Okay, the son of the Vilna Gaon, the Be'er Rabbi Avraham, his name was, he wrote a Pirush on Tehillim called the Be'er Avraham, and he says, similarly, he says, David HaMelech is saying, I've worked on myself to study the art of war, I've trained as a soldier, but when it comes to it, when it comes to the crunch, I actually do very little. It's all in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he does it all for me. You might gird me for war, but Tachria Koma, you're the one who brings down my enemies to their knees, and I actually do very little. That's how the Be'er Avraham learns. There's an interesting piece of Gemara on this. Oh no, let's just take a look at the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis. In Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, the whole chapter echoes our chapter in Tehillim chapter Yud Ches. And there, you have a slightly different wording. In our pasuk, we've got Vata Azareini Chayil, you gird me in battle, while there, it's got the word Vatazreini. Pardon? Without the Aleph. Yeah, exactly, without the Aleph, Vatazreini. There you've got Vatazreini Chayil LaMilchama. Oh, so you've got Vatazreini, in that pasuk, Vatazreini Chayil LaMilchama, it means the same thing, you gird me in battle, just without the Aleph, and Tachriya Komai Tachteini, not Tach, what have we got? We've got Tachtoi, and there it's got Tachteini. And there the Abba Benel, on Shmuel Beis, again, the Abba Benel's whole shot in comparing the two chapters is that the chapter of Tehillim is an improvement on the chapter in Shmuel Beis. It's a strange concept. He says, Pesukim in Shmuel Beis, are not as high quality language as the Psukim in Tehillim. That's how the Abrabana learns it. He says the word Vatazrini, well, it really does mean Vatu Azrini, and Vatazrini is an abbreviated form. And again, he says Tachtoi is a better form than Tachtini. It's a more, I don't know, he puts it. It's a more suitable form than Tachtini. That's how the Abrabanel learns it. The Abrabanel in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis Pasuk Mem, also points out, what does it mean when it says Tachria Komai Tachtini? My adversaries, you brought down my adversaries to their knees in front of me. Who are these Komai? Says the Abrabanel, it's a specific reference to Avshalom and also Sha'ul. Why Avshalom and why Sha'ul? He points out that the Pasuk in Tehillim chapter Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Hashem Morabu Tzoroi, Rabim Komim Oloi, many have risen up against me. And it's there's the link word is Komim, which of course comes from the same root as our Pasuk, Tachria Komai Tachtini. Who are these Komim? Well, this is in the Perek of Tehillim, which starts off Mizmor LeDavid, Bavarcho Mipnei Avshalom Beno, when David was running away from before Avshalom his son. So he says that's the source, that who are these Tachria Komai Tachtini? It's a reference to Avshalom. He also says it's a reference to Sha'ul, and I don't know why he brings in Sha'ul here, but certainly a reference to Avshalom is easier to understand. On that Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, the Radak points out that the word Vatazrini, he quotes from his father. It's a strange piece of Radak, because he seems to be disagreeing with his own father. Yeah, the Radak says that Vatazrini comes from the root Aleph Zayin Reish, as we got in our Pasuk, Vatu Azareini, which is a belt. You've girded me with strength, that's the belt. And therefore he says it's in the PL. Vatu Azareini is a PL form, belongs to the PL family of words. While he quotes his father, who says, no, it's from Zayin Reish Hay. Which means, what does it mean? It means similar to gird or to, it can also mean to winnow. It really means to winnow, i.e. you've made me finely tuned. By getting rid of any rubbish, you fine-tuned me. And he said, and therefore, train me well. Or Vatazrini, it's an expression of you've honed me, and you got rid of any rubbish within me, and therefore it's from Zayin Reish, which is Zoro, which is to winnow, yeah. And therefore he says his father learns it's in the Hifil form of words from Zayin Reish. He says words he is of an opinion from Aleph Zayin Reish in the PL with a missing Aleph, which is a bit strange. But the missing Aleph, and Aleph is a weak sort of letter, doesn't have a sound of its own, and so the Aleph disappears from the word. That's
I'm going to suggest that Tazreini comes from Zera, a wreath.
A wreath. Oh, very good. Things. Yeah.
They both envelop you, both around you.
Correct. Absolutely right. And that pshat, not in terms of a wreath, but from the word zer, this pshat is brought by the Yalkut Memloris in the name of the Ravosh. I don't know who the Ravosh is. Reish Aleph Veis apostrophe Shin. And he says it comes from the word zir, Zayin Yud Reish, which is like a zer, which is a crown. Like the Kanim in the Mishkan have got a zer Zahav Soviv, the Shulchan and the, I think, Mizbech as well. Zer Zahav has got this golden crown, i.e. it's fully encircled, which is connected to the word Ezer, a belt, which fully encircles a person. Yeah, and he says the idea is you surrounded me with strength, like a crown.
Well, that might be slightly different, because a belt is a sign of strength. You know, a person goes out to war, whereas a crown is a sign of success. He succeeded. He's won the war.
Yeah,
he crowned me with success.
Yep. Good. Okay, makes sense. The Alshich on our Pasuk goes into the next Pasuk as well, where we've got these other expressions of Oivai and Masanai, and he makes his differences. What are these differences between them? And again, he's very similar to the Malbim. The Komai are those who fight me, while the Oivai are those who simply hate me, but they're intending to fight me at some stage. And the Masanai are those who have hatred against me. And the Malbim points out that, sorry, not the Malbim, the Alshich points out, very similarly to what the Malbim says, namely that Tachria, when it comes to the Komai, those who are fighting me, Tachria, you bring them to their knees. When it comes to Oivai, my enemies, Nosato li Oref, you're the one who makes them flee. When it comes to Masanai, Atzmi same, I'm davening that I should be able to crush them, I should be able to defeat them. It turns out from this that the David HaMelech is only davening for that smallest group, the smallest group of people, namely Masanai, or the least effective group. He's only davening, he says, I'm only making a small tefillah. You're defeating all my enemies, I'm making a small tefillah that I should be able to cope with those with that group. And I'm not davening for extreme help. I'm only davening for a small amount of help. That's how the Malbim learns. Okay, there's a sefer called Yalkut Mochiri, which Mrs. Cooper gave me from Rabbi Cooper's library, which is on Tehillim. It's actually very similar, almost word for word, the same or very closely related to the Medrash HaChatov, which is the main Medrash on Tehillim. Now, in this sefer Yalkut Mochiri, he says, and I'll quote the words, David says, my very beginning, since my own creation, I've been destined for military work. I'm a fighter. Lefichoch, therefore, tachria komai tachtoi, you bring my enemies to their knees. Those who rise up against me, you bring them to their knees. And he said, "Alideshet tchanas briyosi." Since the beginning of my creation, i.e., since I was born, I've been trained as a fighter, and I am a fighter. That's how the Yalkut Mochiri learns these words. However, the Medrash HaChatov has a slightly different form. One slight change: "Alideshet tchilas briyoso," from the beginning of his creation. Lefichoch, therefore, tachria komai tachtoi. I've been destined for chayel, I've been destined for battle since the beginning of his creation. What on earth does that mean, since the beginning of his creation? So you could learn, it's just a slightly different girsa between the Yalkut Mochiri and the Medrash HaChatov, slightly different girsa there, you could learn that. However, there's a beautiful pshat brought on this, and I've got it on from a sefer which I downloaded from HebrewBooks.org. That sefer is called Otsar Tehillos on Tehillim, and he brings it from there's a pirush there called Menachem Yisrael, who quotes it in the name of a sefer called Parmenei Zahav. And there he goes as follows. He says, he refers to Pasuk in Parshas Yisro. So we're going to go via Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, where Yisro advises Moshe to have these helpers in the judicial system. Another pasuk says, it's in chapter Yud Ches, and it's pasuk Kaf Aleph, where Yisro says to Moshe, "V'ata Sechazeh, you should discern, Mikola Om, discern from all the people, Anshe Chayil." There's the key word, Anshe Chayil, same word as in our pasuk, men of valor, whatever that means. Yireh Elokim, those who are God-fearing, Anshe Emes, people of truth, Sonei Vatsa, who dislike making a profit, they're pure people, and you should appoint them as judges to help you in the whole hierarchical system of the judiciary. That's Yisro's advice to Moshe. And the key word there is Anshe Chayil. Anshe Chayil, men of valor. What does it mean, Anshe Chayil? Oh, many different shotim on that word. So Rashi on that pasuk learns, Anshe Chayil means there should be wealthy people. Men of wealth. Why should they be wealthy? Because if they're wealthy people working as judges, then they won't be tempted by bribery, they won't be tempted by flattery, they won't have people shoving envelopes to their door in the middle of the night saying, you know, please, you're seeing my case tomorrow, do me right. That's how Rashi learns it. The Sephardim learns it means people of ability, in particular of great wisdom and general knowledge. People of immense knowledge. That's how Sephardim learns. But, and here's the key one, the Alshich learns, what does it mean by Chayil? He says people who've got their own private army. What kind of army are we talking about? Armies of Malachim. Yeah? Why? Because we've got a mission in Pirkei Avos. Yeah. Got a mission in Pirkei Avos, which tells us it's in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalip, Mishnah Yud Aleph. If you do a mitzvah, anyone who does any one mitzvah, you've created a malach on your side. He'll speak in your favor. And the Alshich learns on that pasuk in Yisro, who are these Anshechal? They're people who've got vast armies of malachim working for them. Why do they have vast armies of malachim? Because they perform many mitzvahs. In particular, mitzvah saseh. And then later on in that pasuk in Yisro, it says Yireh Elokim. Yireh Elokim means that they're God fearing and they won't transgress any mitzvahs lo sase. Okay, so that's how the Alshich learns. So based on that piece of Al-Shir, the Anshe Chayel, people with vast armies of Malachim, because they perform many mitzvahs, based on that, this Sefer Parmenizov says, that's the objective of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the moment he created the world, his plan was that we should all have loads of Malachim. Bereshis Baralekim, and Bereshis is Bishvil Yisrael, Shinikreishis, and Bishvil Torah, Shinikreishis, that it's all for the sake of the Torah, i.e. a person with lots of Malachim, because he's done lots of mitzvahs, and that is Tchilas Brioso, from the beginning of his, capital H, his creation. Since Hashem created the world, his plan was that people should be men of Chayil. People should have lots of mitzvahs to their name. And with having lots of mitzvahs to their name, mean there'll be Anshei Chayil, there'll be people with armies of Malachim working on their side. And that's how he learns that piece, and that's how the Sefer Parmenei Zohov understands this piece of Medrash Shechetov. That it should be Aladei Shetchinas B'Yosef. In the beginning, since the moment of Hashem created the world, it was always L'Chayil, for the sake of Chayil, that we should have Malachim working for us, Malachim that we ourselves have created from through our own mitzvahs. L'Fichach, says David, therefore, since I've done that, and I perform mitzvahs, and I learn Torah as well as I can, therefore, Tachriah Komai Tachtoi, I'm a man of Chayil, I've got, and therefore, bring my enemies to their knees, based on the fact that I've got loads of Malachim working on my side. That's how the Sefer Parmenizov makes sense of that piece of Medrash HaChetov. Okay, yes. Okay, a couple more minutes. Let's see a little bit of six. 1 second. Yeah. Oh, here's a beautiful thing from the Sefer called Zera Yaakov. Zera Yaakov on Tehillim, it's a Sefer written by a man called Rabbi Yaakov Khan, who is an ancestor of Rabbi Leipik's wife. And he learns that the word Chayil is a reference to wealth. Okay. Similarly to Rashi in Parshas Yisro, the Anshe Chayil are men who are wealthy men, and therefore above and beyond any risks of giving into bribery. So people of wealth. So he learns the pasuk that Hazrini Chayil Amilchama. You give me lots of wealth for war. Now, what on earth does that mean? Says the Sefer Zera Yaakov. He says, first of all, another proof that wealth, the chayil means wealth, he learns it from a pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Let me get the pasuk. Here we are. It's in Ekev. It's chapter Ches, pasuk Yud Zayin, where the pasuk says, telling how the downfall of Klal Yisrael, v'amata will vavecha, you'll say in your hearts, kochi ve'otzem yodi osalies ha'chayil azeh. You'll ascribe all your wealth to your own abilities. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's a major risk, and you'll fall by the wayside if you do that kind of thing, because you'll exclude me out of the equation. Whereas really, I'm behind all your wealth. It's, if you're wealthy or successful, it's because of me. So he says that's another source that the word chayil is a reference to wealth. Says the Sefer Zera Yaakov, how does a person become wealthy? He says, well, we've got a pasuk in Devarim chapter Yodalot, pasuk kaf base, where in Parshas Re'eh, where the pasuk says, aser to aser, we didn't know, yom tov aser to aser is kol tov aserecha, give maaser from your crops, aser to aser. And based on that pasuk, there's a Gemara in Tanis, it's in Tanis Taf Tesomud Aleph, right at the top, aser to aser, which we darshan, aser bishvil sher tisasher. We dash in that double loshen, aser to aser. Play on the words that to aser is an expression of tisasher. You'll become wealthy when you by giving tzedakah. Okay, so pardon? A tenth. Yeah, you give a tenth. Yeah, that's right. Sure, you have to give a tenth. And in fact, we also learned you shouldn't give more. Alivaz beis yosem lechomesh. You shouldn't give more than a fifth of your money away to tzedakah. So aser to aser, you got to give a tenth. But the Gemara darshens on that, on the double expression, aser to aser, aser bishvil shetis asher, give maaser, and based on that you'll become wealthy. So in our pasuk, David says, I'm a wealthy man. How have I become wealthy? By giving tzedakah. And that has given me wealth, based on that piece of Gemara. That Gemara comes from Rabbi Yochanan. Says, and how do you know that David gave tzedakah? From another pasuk, a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, where the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, it's in chapter Ches, Pesukim Tesvav to Tes Zayin, where the pasuk says, Vayimlech David at Kol Yisrael. David ruled over all Yisrael. Vayi David oseh mishpot utzadaka lechol amo. David performed mishpot, judgment. He was a dayan. Utzadaka, and he gave tzadaka, he gave charity lechol amo to all his people. And the next pasuk says, "V'Yoav ben Tzruya al Hatzava." Yoav, who is David's nephew, is in charge of the army. And Rashi, based on a medrash on that pasuk, says that the two of them had a symbiotic relationship between them. David, through David's tzedakah, that in turn gave Yoav military success. The two of them worked together. David's tzedakah, in turn, gave Yoav military success. So we see that David gave tzedakah. Based on the fact that he gave tzedakah, we have Aseh Bishvil Shetis Asher. David became wealthy. So what, that he became wealthy? So he says as follows. He quotes from a Zohar in Parashas Vayishlach, which I haven't looked up, where the Zohar says, through a person giving tzedakah, kutzitzin ragle hanochosh, we cut off the feet of the nochosh, of the serpent, meaning the Yetzirah is disabled. Person gives tzedakah, he disables the Yetzirah. Kutzitzin ragle hanochosh. Says the Sefer Zera Yaakov, now we can go, we see all this in our pasuk. V'atazrini, chayil, you've girded me with wealth. Wealth, learning a chayil is wealth. And have I become wealthy through tzedakah. And therefore, la milchoma, I can cope in battle. And therefore, tachria komai tachtoi, you bring my adversaries to their knees. What do you mean you bring my adversaries to their knees? You disable the Yetzirah from that base and that Zohar. Kotzes im ragle anochosh, you're casting off the feet of the nochosh, i.e. you bring my enemies to their knees. That's how the Sefer Zera Yaakov learns it. Connecting tachria komai tachtoi with the phrase in the Zohar and Vayishlach, kotzes im ragle anochosh, casting off the feet of the nochosh. Let's take a look at the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Mem, where the parallel pasuk there says, "Vatazreni chayil la milchama, you girded me with strength for battle. Tachria komai tachtini, you bring my adversaries to their knees under me." But the key word there being the very first word, "Vatazreni," and the Gemara in Nidah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, compares that word Vatazrini to the earlier pasuk that we had in Tehillim here, chapter Yud Ches, pasuk Lamed Gimel, that we mentioned earlier on, Hokel Hamazrini Choyel, where the word Hamazrini is spelt with an aleph. So, pasuk Lamed Gimel in our chapter, we have Hokel Hamazrini Choyel, and in Shmuel Beis, chapter Gaf Beis, pasuk Mem, it's got Vatazrini. So the Gemara in Nidah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, explains in the name of Rabbi Chanino Bar Papa, that Melamed, this teaches us, we have, in fact, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa is dashing another pasuk in Tehillim in chapter Kuf Lamed Tes, and he comes up with the following statement. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa explains, Melamed shelo notzar adam min kol hatipa, elo min habor sheba. A human being, a human embryo, is not created from the entire tip-off, in the entire tip-off zeraf, in the entire sperm, a drop of sperm, Ella, but rather a person is created min habora shebo, from the choicest part of the sperm. The point being that the sperm is made up of a sperm head and a sperm tail. The sperm head, relative to the entire length of the sperm, is actually very small. The sperm tail is used to project the sperm into the womb of the female, but it's the sperm head that is actually does the fertilization of the egg within the female. So that's what it says. Shalom notes that Adam in kol ha-tipa, human beings not created from the entire tipa, from the entire drop of sperm. Elamin al-barish, but only from the choicest part, i.e. the sperm head. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Moshele Adam Shezura Bevis Hagonis. This is compared to a person who's winnowing in his threshing floor. He's winnowing the grain. What does he do? No telesa ochel. He takes the food and he leaves to one side the chaff. So he takes he's extracting the kernel and he takes the kernel only, and the chaff is left to one side. So likewise, same idea that the human being is created from the choice part of the sperm, i.e., from the sperm head, and not from the rest of the, and not from the tail. Rabavol, and here we and now the Gemara likens this to a maamar from Rabavol. To Rabavol Romi, Rabavol asks a contradiction between two psukim and brings our posuk. Kasiv, the posuk says in Shmuel Beis, that's our posuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, posuk Mem. That has really chayil. You girded me with strength, uchasiv, and we also have in Tehillim chapter Yud Ches posuk Lamed Gimel, Hokel Hamma Azarini chayil. Hokel Hamma Azrini Choyel, Hashem who girds me with strength. And he's comparing that word Vatazrini with the word Hamma Azrini. Omar David, Lifna Kodesh Baruch Hu, David said before Kodesh Baruch Hu, Benu Shalom, Zeirisani Vzeiraztani. You have both Zeirisani, which is learned from the word Vatazrini, which means you've winnowed me, and also Vzeiraztani, you've also girded me. So we're actually dashing both words from the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vatazrini. From there we learn Vzeiraztani, you've girded me, you've made me into Zoriz, you've made me alert and quick in battle. While from the word Vatazrini in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk Mem, from that we learn Zeirisani, you've winnowed me. What does that mean? That means that you created me from the choice part of the Zera, from the best part of the Zera. On this Gemara, the Ben Yehoyada notes, that's how on this Gemara in Nidol Amad Aleph, the Ben Yehoyada points out that we have two Midrashim. There's a Midrash that we know that David HaMelech lived for 70 years. So there's one Midrash which says that originally Adam HaRishon was destined to live for 1,000 years. In the end, he only lived for 930 years because he donated 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. The life of Adam HaRishon was cut short in order to provide life for David HaMelech. Likewise, there's a different medrash which the Ben Yehoyada quotes, that Avraham Avinu, who died at the age of 175, was originally destined to live to the age of 180, but he donated 5 years of his life to David HaMelech. Yaakov Avinu died at the age of 147, 28 years short of the lifespan of Avraham Avinu, which was 175. Why did Yaakov Avinu die 28 years younger than Avraham? Because he donated those 28 years to David HaMelech. Likewise, Yosef died at the age of 110, which is 37 years short of the 147 years that Yaakov Avinu lived. Why did Yosef die 37 years young at the age of 37 years younger than that of Yaakov Avinu? Because he donated those 37 years to David HaMelech. So, Avraham gave 5 years, Yaakov gave 28 years, and Yosef gave 37 years, which gives a total of 70 years. So, David HaMelech, his 70 years came from those other people. One Medrash, they came all from Adam HaRishon, and some other Medrashes that came from combinations of years, different years, donated by Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. Says the Ben Yehoyada, from there we understand what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that David said, Vezirisani, you've winnowed me. What does that mean? My whole life is because you winnowed the lives of others. You winnowed the lives of Adam HaRishon or of Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. And I received the years of my life from them, and with that, I have my life was created through an act of winnowing. Yeah, so with that, we've understood the that's how we explain these two expressions: Hamma Azrini earlier in Tehillim and Vatazrini in our parallel pasuk Shmuel based chapter Kaf based pasuk Mem. One final idea on our posuk is brought in the Sefer Maskil Le'eson by Rabbi Avram Halimi, who was a Rav in Algeria. He quotes quite a lot of his material from Yaris Devash Chelek Aleph Daf Pei Tes Ahmed Aleph. And while I admit I don't fully understand what he says, I've got the main gist of it, so I'd like to include it in the shiur. He starts by quoting the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yud Zayin, which is all about how David HaMelech fought against Goliath. Right at the end of that chapter, pasuk Nun Hei, the pasuk tells us that Shaul wanted to know from which family David came. The pasuk says, "V'cheros Shaul es David." When Shaul saw David Yose Likras HaPlishti going out to meet the Philistine Goliath, Omar el Avner Sarhatzava. Shaul said to Avner, the captain of the army, Ben Mizeh Hanar Avner, tell me, Avner, whose son is this young man? Vayomer Avner. Avner replied, Chei Navshecho HaMelech, I swear by your life, king, O king, Im Yodoti, I do not know. So Avner didn't know. Vayomer HaMelech, so Shaul said to Avner, Sha'alato Ben Mizeh HaOlem, so you please find out, you go and make your own inquiries, who is this young man? Whose son is this young man, David? Trying to discover the identity of David's father. And after David finished from smiting, came back from smiting Goliath, the Philistine, Avner took him, and he brought him before Shaul, and the head of Goliath, the Philistine, was in David's hand. Shaul said to him, Ben Miato Hanoar, tell me, whose son are you, young man? Vayomer David, and David replied, Ben Avdecha Yishai Beis Halachmi, I'm the son of your servant Yishai Beis Halachmi from Beis Lechem. So there's the story. Shaul didn't know who David was. Shaul asked Avner. Avner didn't know. Avner then brought David in front of Shaul. Shaul asked him, and he replied that he's the son of Yishai. Now the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Vov Amid Beis, goes into this whole incident in quite a lot of detail, and is the Gemara so puzzled, how come that Shaul did not know, says the Gemara, or how come he didn't start off by saying, how come he didn't know who David was? And the Gemara says, how can it be? Surely he knew, surely Shaul knew exactly who David was, because this was not the first time they'd met. In fact, David had already been working for Shaul at the time of this incident. And the Gemara refers to a Pasuk earlier on in Shmuel Aleph, which is in chapter Tes Zayin, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, where the pasuk there says, "Vayover David el Shaul, vayamid lefanov." David came and stood before Shaul. Vayehovehu meod, vayhilo nosichelim. David had been working for Shaul as a nosichelim. I mean, he'd been carrying his weapons, his sword, his bow and arrow, maybe. And David had been working for Shaul. So the Gemara asks, "How can it be that Shaul did not know who David was?" And the Gemara answers in its first answer, "Well, he wasn't actually asking who David was, he was asking who David's father was. He knew who David was, he just didn't know who David's father was." And then the Gemara says, well, no, that can't be right either. Why? Because later on, in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yudzayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, we see that David's father, Yishai, was actually an extremely famous man. And it's not feasible that Shaul did not know who Yishai was. So the Gemara, the Pasuk there says, it's Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yudzayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, Ushmo, talking about Yishai, Ushmo Yishai, his name was Yishai, Veloshman of Onim, he had eight sons, Vahish, Bime Shaul, Zokain, and during the days of Shaul, this man, Yishai, was a Zokain, he was an elderly man and highly respected, Bov Anoshim, literally means coming among men. And the Gemara explains, what does it mean, coming among men? It means he was always surrounded and followed by a huge entourage of people. In fact, I think the number was 600,000 people there, that Yishai was so well known as a tzaddik, as a Talmud Chacham, and as a great man. He was so well known that he was always accompanied by this huge entourage of people. So therefore, the Gemara's question comes back again. How can it be that Shaul did not know who Yishai was? And the Gemara then answers, no. Shaul knew exactly who David's father was, and he knew about Yishai, and he knew about David as well. What Shaul was asking is not about David's direct father, but rather about David's ancestry. Who is David's ancestor? From which family of Yehuda does David come? Does he come from the family of Peretz, or does he come from the family of Zerach? And the Gemara explains that Shaul really wanted to know which of those two families he came from. And because Shaul said, if he comes from the family of Peretz, then he's destined for royalty. He's going to become king one day. Why? Because Peretz is a Loshon of Peretz. The Melech is Peretz Geder. A king is allowed, al pi halacha, to smash down properties and smash down fences that might be in his way in order to move with his army. The king has rishus to smash down fences. So if he's from the family of Peretz, then he's clearly going to become a melech one day. If he's not from the family of Peretz, but from the family of Zerach, so Shaul said, in that case, he's not destined for royalty, but he's still destined for some greatness. So that's why Shaul wanted to discover David's ancestry. Is he from Peretz or is he from Zerach? And the Gemara says, well, what on earth gave Shaul the idea that David was such a great man, destined either for royalty or for other greatness? And the Gemara answers because there had been an incident right at the beginning of the time when David was about to go out and fight Goliath. The Pasuk there says, it's in Shmuel Aleph chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Ches, that Shaul gave David his own armor to wear. Vayalbe Shaulis David Madov. Shaul gave David to wear, he clothed David in Madov, his army clothing, his garments. Vanosan Kovel Nechoshes Arosha, he put a copper helmet on his head. Vayalbe Shoshoshirian, and he also dressed him in chainmail, coat of chainmail. So Shaul had given David his clothing to wear in order to challenge Goliath. And that in itself is very strange, because we know that Shaul was an extremely tall man. Earlier on in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Tes Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk tells us that Shaul was Mishichma Vamala Gavoa Mikol Ha'am, that Shaul was head and shoulders taller than everyone else. So how can it be if Shaul would give David his own clothing, his own armor to wear? In fact, the word Madov says the Gemara from a Loshana Midah, measurement, and that the clothing or the armor worn by Shaul fitted David perfectly. How can that be? The Mefarshim there say that the clothing of Shaul, this armor belonging to Shaul, shrank in order that it should fit David. Well, Shaul had seen that the armor shrank to fit David, and with that he realized that David must therefore be a very great man. And on the back of that, he wanted to know, who is David's ancestor? Is it Peretz, or is it Zerach? Peretz, in which case David's going to become a king, or is it Zerach, in which case he's going to become a great man? That's the extended part of the Gemara on this incident of David, of Shaul trying to find out the identity of David's ancestry. When that happened, the Pasuk there says, the Gemara there says, in Yevamos Ayin Vav Amid Beis, the Gemara says that Doeg HaAdomi, this great Rasha, turned to Shaul and said, well, hang on a minute, before you discover whether the ancestry of David, to see whether he's going to become a king or a great man, you need to consider one more thing. And that is, this man David probably has no proper yichus, and he's possible, he's going to be possible from becoming a king. Why? Because he's descended from Rus. Rus Hamoaviyah. Rus, of course, married Boaz, and Boaz had a son called Oved, who had a son called Yishai, who had a son called David. So therefore, the ancestry of David is not perfect. He does not come from a very good Yechus. He has his ancestress is Rus Hamoaviyah. And we have a posuk in Devarim, chapter Kaf Gimel, posuk Dalad, Lo Yovo Amoni Omoavi Bekal Hashem. Neither someone from Ammon nor from Moab can join the Kahal Hashem, can become a Ger. And therefore, the Gerus of Rus is very much called into question. This is the argument that Doeg puts to Shaul. And that's how the Gemara goes on to discuss, well, do we paskan Ammoni? That in fact we do paskan Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moavis, and that because Rus was a female person from Moab, therefore she was, al pi halacha, permitted to become a Geres. At any rate, we see that Doeg was desperate to disqualify David on the basis of his yichus. That's the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. So the Sefer Maskil Le'Eson quotes the Yaris Devash, who quotes an amazing medrash. He calls it a medrash tonua. I don't know where this medrash comes from. And the medrash is that when Shaul was wondering, trying to discover the identity of David's ancestry, that Doeg, this terrible Rasha Doeg, turned to Shaul and said, you want to know who David's father is? I'll tell you who David's father is. Zehu ben mi shehechria ha'olam b'tzidkoso. This man, David, is the son of the person who can outweigh the rest of the world with his tzidkus. And this is an amazing medrash, because here we have Doeg, this immense Rasha, extolling the tzidkus of David's father Yishai. And that doesn't seem to add up with what we see from the rest of Doeg's personality. Surely Doeg, this terrible Rasha, would have no interest in recognizing the tzidkus of Yishai, the father of David. That's the kasha. How could it be that Doeg should speak so highly of Yishai? So he brings a fascinating answer. He says as follows: the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Kedushin Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, the Mishnah there discusses the halachas of discovering, of checking a person's yichus before making a shidduch. And whose yichus do we need to check and whose yichus do we not need to check? And the Mishnah there finishes, Rabbi Chanina ben Tignos Omer, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos says, Av Misha Hoya Muchtov be Istartiyos Shel Melech, someone who was written in the annals of the military of the king, you do not need to check his yichus. If someone is known as a soldier of the king, then you do not need to check his yichus. So the Gemara then, Kedushin, Ayin Vav Amud Beis, defines this halacha a little bit more closely. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, B'chayol Shel Beis David. We're talking about specifically the armies of David. If someone was known as a soldier in the army of David, then there's no need to check his yichus. Why not? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kedei Shetei Zechusan Zechusan Avosam Mesayaton. David would only employ people in his army if they came from impeccable yichus. Why? So that they would have not just their own zechuyos, but also zechus aves. They would, when they go out to fight, they should be blessed with success in the battlefield. On the battlefield, why? Because they have zechuson, their own zechuyos, and also zechus aves. Now, he brings that we have another medrash, and I can't remember where this medrash is, but I'm sure we've had it before in the Tehillim Shir, that Achisophel, also a terrible Rasha, of course, Achisophel described David as a chote, as a sinner. Why was that? Because David had taken Bathsheba as a wife. Uriah was technically still alive when David had taken her. Of course, we know that Uriah had written a get al Tanai, that we've learned this before many times, that Uriah had already written a get for his wife Bathsheba, and so technically, at the time when David took her, she was already a Gerusha, and therefore permitted to David. But at any rate, Achisophel described David as he took an Ashes Ish as his own wife, and therefore he's a terrible sinner. Therefore, he has none of his own Zechios. That's how Achisophel saw David, that he was a terrible sinner. So in the Sefer Maskil Eson, he goes on to explain, we see that David has had immense military success. He's managed to kill Goliath. He comes before Shaul, and Shaul wants to discover his identity. So we now that David has had tremendous success, we now know that either Doeg is wrong or Achisophel is wrong. You can only be a successful in David's own army. You can only be a successful soldier in David's army if you've got a proper yichus. Why? So that you would have both your own zechuyos and also zechus avos. So we can now see that either Achisophel is wrong, that because Achisophel claimed that David was a chote, was a terrible sinner in having taken Bathsheba. Incidentally, Bathsheba being Achisophel's granddaughter. Alternatively, Doeg is wrong because Doeg, who claimed that David didn't have a proper yichus, being descended from Rasamu Aviyah. So one of those two is wrong because he's going to have, at least one of those two is wrong, maybe they're both wrong, because he's had tremendous military success, therefore he either has his own zechuyos or he has zechus avos. So along comes Doeg. Doeg in the Gemara, in Yevamos Ayin Vav Amud Beis, Doeg is the one who claims to Shaul that David has no yichus. He's descended from Rusamu Aviyah. Rus had no business to become a Gioras, and therefore David, that taints David's yichus. And therefore, and indeed would also taint Yishai's yichus as well, because Yishai, of course, is descended from Rus. Therefore, Doeg says in the Medrash, in this Medrash Tumio, Doeg says to Shaul that Yishai is a tremendous tzaddik. He describes Yishai as being the person Misha Hechriah HaOlam B'tzidkos, so he can outweigh the rest of the world in his tzidkos. So if therefore Doeg describes Yishai as being a tremendous tzaddik, therefore there's nothing wrong with Yishai's own zechios, and therefore the only one remaining problem with Yishai must be that he has no yichus, which tallies with exactly what Doeg claimed in the Gemara, namely that Yishai, and therefore David as well, of course, came to being descended from Rus Hamu Aviyah, they have no proper yichus because Lo Yavamuni Omu Ovi Bekal Hashem. And that's the connection. That explains why Doeg should claim to Shaul what a great tzaddik Yishai is, and therefore bolstering Doeg's own opinion that there is still one other overriding problem with Yishai, and therefore with David as well, namely that of Yichus. That's how the Sefer Maskil Le'ison explains it. And he ties it in with the very next pasuk that we have in Tehillim, where the next pasuk, here we are, Tehillim Yud Ches, pasuk Mem Aleph, for Oivaina Satali Oref, you make my enemies flee. They turn tail and they flee away from me, and they turn their backs on me and they run away. And I will cut down those who hate me. Says the Sefer Maskil Le'ison that what we have is that Doeg is described as an Oyev and Achisophel is described as the Masanai. And therefore, we understand that pasuk as being the Oyev, and that's Doeg, he turns his back on me and runs away. In other words, Doeg's argument that I have no Yichus falls flat on its face. Umasanaai, or taking that Vav at the beginning of Umasanaai to mean or those who hate me, and that's reference to Achisophel, as we say, I'll cut them down. And again, that's a reference to Achisophel saying that I'm a sinner because I took Bathsheba. One of those two must be wrong, because clearly I've had success against Goliath. One of those two arguments must be wrong. As I say, it's not 100% clear with me, but that's the general gist of what the Sefer Maskil Le'ison is saying. And we'll stop there.